Are you ready to talk Padres spring training baseball?
We've got you covered.
It's the beginning of a new season with new hope and a new host here on Padres Social Hour. Our new ace is Mike Ginella, and today he's joined by Corey Brock as they broadcast from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona for this spring training edition of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome to the first Padres Social Hour of the 2016 season. We're coming to you here from another beautiful day in Peoria, Arizona at the Peoria Sports Complex. I am, I guess, the new ace, Mike Ginella. Thank you, Pete. If so, my battery mate today is Corey Brock, 10th season covering the Padres for MLB.com, right?
Yeah, hey, we make a pretty good combo, I guess.
I think so, yeah, kicking off the season. Well, yeah. We'll see how it goes, but now I think we're in good shape.
Sounds good early, but yeah.
How's your spring training so far, Corey?
It's gone really well. You know, it's funny, like, you come out here as much as I have, and again, this is my 10th year. 2007 was my first year. It's kind of like Groundhog Day in some way, shape, or form, but, you know, it's kind of a different camp. It's got a different feel to it. I think there's a lot of excitement here. And I think, like anyone else, I'm just kind of curious to see how this all works out.
This is the first camp for Andy Green. So you mentioned some differences, how things are a bit different from the Buddy Black regime. What are some of those differences you've noticed early on?
They're not always differences you can see. Some you can actually hear. As you noticed, Mike, there's some music being pumped around different parts of the camp here. It's kind of a lively, upbeat environment, I guess. It was the same with Buddy, and I'm not trying to set up any kind of contrast here, but it's, this is Andy's first camp. And for me, as someone who's covered the game for a while, I'm always curious to see how a first-year manager sort of assimilates himself into a new environment and with new players. And, you know, I wrote a story a while back about how Andy flew to six different states to see some players and start building relationships. So it's just always curious for me to see how a new guy goes about the job.
All that's going on with the team and the music is the most popular thing for everyone to talk about. You enjoying the playlist? I like it. It's cool. I think it's – I don't know what it was like here last year in silence, but there's speakers on the fields, in the hallways, in the complex. You pro jams or anti?
Yeah, I'm going to go thumbs up on the jams. I have a kind of eclectic music taste. Being as old as I am, I like some classic rock, although I do like some indie stuff. Yeah, the mix is pretty good. Some stuff is okay, but other stuff kind of resonates a little bit deeper, I guess.
I think there's 62 guys in uniform that they care more about pleasing than you and me with the music. But coming into this year, what were your expectations for the team before you saw some of these guys in person after all the acquisitions were made?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it was really curious for me to see how they went through this offseason with some of the additions they made, subtractions. Certainly added some very interesting pieces on the minor league side. In the return for the Craig Kimbrell deal, the Joaquin Benoit deal, gave yourself some assets to work with that can maybe help you help the Padres in the future, or maybe become players they move to get other players. So it's going to be a little bit different team. The buzz is a little different. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's just different. And I think I think there's some guys here with kind of some chips on their shoulders, Mike. I think there's some guys that probably have a lot to prove. Will Myers hasn't had a full, healthy major league season since 2013. I think he's excited. I think the team wants to see him get 600 at-bats and what he could do with that. For me, that guy is a key. There's some young arms in the bullpen that are eager to win jobs. I always have been a staunch proponent that competition really brings out the best in guys.
For me, this is a team chock full of potential best case scenarios that I think, if the dominoes all fall the right way, this is a team that could really surprise. I think a wild card slot is definitely in play. NL West, maybe shooting for the stars, but you talk Will Myers, if he comes back and stays healthy, that's a good bat that you can have over the production he had last year. Melvin Upton Jr. was playing great toward the end there, and he gets a full camp, which he didn't have with this team last year, injury-free too. Matt Kemp, his second half was incredible. Alexi Ramirez can improve that defense up at shortstop. What are you thinking is best-case scenario for this team?
They're going to have to get off to a good start. That's something the Padres have never really done since I've been covering this team. And I think it's important not to get buried early on.
Biggest strength this team has from what you've seen so far?
Oh, you know, I think they're going to be much better defensively than they were last year. That was something that showed up in a negative sense last year in terms of a lot of unearned runs for some pitchers, and I think it changed the way some pitchers approached other hitters, just in terms of balls in play and being a little wary on what happened when a ball left someone's bat, if it was going to get fielded cleanly or caught cleanly. So I think the defense will be better. I think there's a speed component here that can help them. I like the first three pitchers that are going. Tyson Ross, you know, for me, he still seems like an underrated guy in the National League. I know everybody that follows the game knows about Tyson Ross, but I still think this guy is nowhere near his ceiling. James Shields, Andrew Cashner, I think that's a big key, having a bounce back year and what is his final year before free agency. So there are some strengths here. You have some veteran leadership. You have some guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and I think you have some guys whose game sets up well for Petco Park.
For me, that's far and away, I think, the biggest thing in this team's favor is those three guys at the top of the rotation. And nice plug, because we have Tyson Ross coming up later in the show, so we'll talk to him about that. But I think those three pitchers settle in well, and I think with Cashner, a good bounce-back potential, that could be a very formidable rotation. And you look at what the Mets in the National League did last year, getting to the World Series, you know, a year or two ago, all they had was young power arms and a hope and a dream, and they make it up there. Is that a good blueprint for success for the Padres to follow?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, if you don't have strong starting pitching, you're just not going to have any shot. It doesn't matter how many home runs you hit offensively, how many runs you scored. If you can't, I know this sounds terribly basic here, but, like, it's really critical. You know, there was a year here a few years ago, Mike, where, you know, you make all these best-laid plans and you try and line things up, and then injuries happen early on in the season. I know the Padres were, you know, they're going out and scouring the waiver wire in April. You know, they got Jeff Suppan, Ross Ohlendorf was here for a few starts. But it just goes to show you that, boy, if you're scrambling for starting pitching, that's just not an easy road to hoe. And I think it's important for those three guys and then the two guys that follow them. And that's, it remains to be seen. I think Brandon Mauer and Colin Ray maybe have a good chance to fill out the rotation. But you need your horses to give you not only 200 innings, but to give you quality innings and quality starts and to keep the ball in the ballpark, which they had trouble doing last year.
A lot of concerns, fairly so, I think, on this team as well. The bullpen is a bit unsettled. The outfield positions outside of Matt Kemp still up for grabs. The four or five spots in the rotation, like you mentioned. What do you think's the biggest one? Because I think I know my answer.
You know, I'm going to go with the bullpen, Mike, and I just think because this has been a franchise, at least in my time here and even before then, success was really predicated on having a kind of a shutdown, lockdown bullpen. And, you know, we've seen it before. I mean, this is a franchise with a excellent lineage of back-end guys. I mean, you go back to Mark Davis winning a Cy Young, Trevor Hoffman, Heath Bell, guys of that nature, Craig Kimbrell, Houston Street. I think it's important to, not just to have a quality closer, but, you know, to have a dependable setup guy and then the guys that pitch before them. I mean, these innings are critical. 6, 7, 8. You know, are as equally as important in inning 9 in my book. I think those outs become very, very precious. And there's a lot of guys. I think something like 17 of the 32 pitchers in camp are new to the organization. So, you know, the old adage about a lot of people complain about spring training being too long. That's mostly the writers, I guess. But
we have Bernie Wilson coming up later in the show, too.
Yeah,
we'll
he'll
talk
tell
about
you all about
that.
No, but I think they're really going to need 6 weeks to get this whole thing sorted out.
I disagree. To me, the bullpen is one of the, not the least concerning aspect of the team, because bullpens, we've seen time and again, can get remade pretty quickly, and you can find guys that, with a couple of tweaks here and there, can become pretty shut down. I think it's that left field spot, because there are a couple guys fighting for center and left. I think Melvin Upton Jr. will establish himself in center, but then in left, you're going to need someone like John Jay to step up. Jabari Blash, a lot of people, a Rule 5 guy, have put a lot of stock in him. Yeah. Or a couple other guys, and we'll talk about that later as well, because we have Jabari coming up on the show too. But for me, it's that left field spot, because it's also a big bat in the lineup, and this team's going to have to score some runs as well. Tyson Ross, we have him coming up soon. Quickly, how have you thought of him so far in camp from what you've seen?
He looks good. I mean, he's always very well prepared, and it's just been fun to watch his maturation process since he joined the organization. And you know, he gives a lot of credit to Darren Balsley, the pitching coach. Josh Burns, the former general manager, got Tyson for a song, basically. And I think you know, it was time, a change of scenery helped Tyson out. But I think one of the biggest things is that Darren Balsey really worked with him on mechanics and in terms of getting him a little bit more upright, getting more extension, and just a lot of things, and kind of been a mentor in that regard. And I tell you what, that slider is devastating. And I think it's a tremendous pitch. I think you're going to see him get a lot of ground ball outs. And I think that nothing but big things ahead for Tyson Ross.
And we'll hear from him coming up next. We'll talk his European vacation in the offseason, that slider, and a lot more. Fans, spring training is here. Get tickets now for all Padres 2016 spring training games here in Arizona to catch all the preseason action. Tickets available at padres.com/spring. We're back after this.
We've got more Padres talk right after this. It's Padres Social Hour coming to you from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona for Padres Spring Training.